Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, good morning.
Summer's almost over. We're doing summer songs here today. Jerry and Kirk and I are going to reveal our quintessential summer song at some point to be mocked and ridiculed by our listeners. Is there one? You know what? I don't even know what kind of music you like, Tom. What is your musical taste before I ask you what your summer song is?
I like it all.
Oh, come on.
It's gone in phases over the years. So I've been in locker rooms for my whole life. It's who's ever the oldest typically gets to listen to whatever music they want. So over the years, you listen to everything. So there's not much I don't like.
Are you a country guy?
I love country, yeah.
Yeah? Who's your favorite country guy?
Garth Brooks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What happened to Garth? Just he decided to get out of the spotlight and...
Made too much money.
Yeah.
No,
just...
you know, I read that he... I think, like, his kids were of getting of age where, you know, he could spend time with them, and he decided to do that, but then he's coming back or something like that. That's what Wes Welker told me. Wes is a big Garth Brooks fan. He does some stuff with his foundation, but he... I think he's coming back.
Really?
Hey,
that'd be big.
Would you feel comfortable going to a concert? You probably can't do that, right? Unless you get into a luxury box. Like the Country Fest this weekend, you couldn't go there, could you?
I don't think any New England Patriot player should have been at Country Fest this weekend.
What, based on the Lions game, you mean?
Based on the Lions and based on not much good could come of that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, it's a kind of a time of year where we need to really spend all of our extra time on, you know, getting our bodies ready and our minds prepared for the season. But I'm sure it was a great time. It's just, you know, a lot of these things come in the middle of the summer when, you know, August is a great month for people to really enjoy the last bits of summer. But, you know, for us, that's really a time where we're focused on, you know, trying to get ready for a football season.
All right. I ask this question, Tom, with great reluctance because I know how much you hate to lose. But I made the point on Friday that the Detroit Lion loss was a good thing or had some elements of a good thing. It seems like it was too easy versus Philadelphia. I mean, they were complaining that you were bullying them in practice, for God's sake. It seemed too easy against Tampa. Did not this Lion loss give your head coach a toehold to kick your guys' asses, is it this morning or tomorrow? I guess today you're back to work. And make the point that if you think you're the New England Patriots and you can just show up against any team, that's what's going to happen to you is what happened to, against the Lions.
Yeah, well, he does a good job against, you know, he does a good job with that, you know, whomever we play. So even, you know, when we played Philly and we played Tampa, there were things we did very well, and there's things that we didn't do very well, and there's things against Detroit that, you know, I would say mostly we didn't do well. And those are the things that, you know, Coach Belichick constantly tries to coach off of. So the margin of error is always slim in the NFL, as we know. When you don't play good football on the road against teams that have, you know, superstar quality players at a lot of positions, it's just, that's the way it goes. And it doesn't take much. And it doesn't take much in a half to get down like we got down. And things just happen quickly. And momentum is important. And you never know which play turns the game. And there, you know, when you look back, you know, you could look at any number of plays. When you're in the game, you don't realize those are game-changing plays. Mm. But, you know, the more emphasis that Coach Belichick puts on getting it right in practice and getting it right, you know, whenever we're asked to do it, the more likely our chances are getting it right in the game. So, you know, he's always so big on practice. And, you know, he wants us to come out this week and really have a great week. And that sets the tone for everything. So, you know, that's what we're going to try to do.
Well, you're a captain and a leader. Do you use it the way we think Belichick uses it? Do you tell young guys, see, it's not going to be that easy. You know, we have to wake up now before the games start to count.
Yeah, and there's games where we're going to be down. You know, I hate to say it, but we're going to be down, you know, 21-3 at some point. And how do you respond? I mean, last year we were down to 49ers. 31-3, and we came back and tied at 31-31 in the second half. So,
right.
You know, we didn't end up winning the game, but it's nothing insurmountable. So you have to be able to have the mental toughness to put whatever plays may have happened, the bad ones, put them behind you so that you can move forward, and vice versa. If you're up 31-3, you can never let your foot off the accelerator, because that other team, you know, it just takes one or two plays for them to feeling like they can win the game again. So, you know, every game we play has lessons to be learned, and wins, losses, practices against the other teams like Tampa and Eagles, we learned a lot from those, and, you know, you learn from every experience over the course of the season. I mean, it's, you know, you're learning through games in October and November, and, you know, hopefully our team's at a point in December where we're playing our best, but that's, you know, it's so far from now. There's so much improvement that needs to be made in the meantime that that's where we have to focus our energy on.
In the last 10 years, you've played in the last preseason game three times, two in the last 3 years. Does the game last week make it more or less likely you think you're going to play, and, you know, do you suspect you're going to play?
I'm not sure. You know, Coach Belichick, he tells us always to be ready. So, you know, I'm going in there. We practice today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and, you know, I'm preparing to play like I always play. So, you know, he's never one to say, look, you know, you guys are going to have this week off. He just says, be ready to play for 60 minutes, and I'll make the decision. So, you know, that's what we as players do.
It seemed to me that Detroit was a dirty, kind of mouthy team. Does that help? Because you're going to face a few of those in the regular season too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, they're a very hard-nosed team. You know, they play a very particular style, and we played them on Thanksgiving Day a few years ago, you know, in the regular season, and it was a battle for about three quarters, and then, you know, we pulled away at the end. But, you know, they're, like I said, they've made the playoff once in 14 years, and, you know, they're always hungry every year to, you know, prove that, you know, they're one of the good teams, and they play in a very good division, and, you know, every team this year is very hopeful. So, you know, you go up against a team that has a lot of hope and is excited to start the year, and that's what we got to bring to the table, too. We got to bring that same type of excitement and energy every day, and, you know, hopefully what happens in Detroit doesn't happen to us again, but, you know, that's up to us to determine.
Hey, Tom, it seems to me that the National Football League, better than any other league in professional sports, identifies its problems and its shortcomings and fixes them. And it seems to me the only thing the NFL hasn't figured out yet is the injury situation. And I'm wondering, as the quarterback of the New England Patriots, have you reconciled the fact that the an entire season in this league, in this sport, hinges on the health and well-being of its stars? I mean, if you go down, the season changes. If Adrian Peterson goes down, their season. If Peyton, if Eli, if Aaron Rodgers goes down. Have you reconciled the fact that the entire NFL season can hinge on one injury to one key player on one particular team?
Sure. That probably will happen at some point this year to some team that, you know, they're counting on, you know, a particular player that's, you know, maybe some other people outside of the team don't realize how important a role that particular player has. Mm. And, you know, you lose that person, and, you know, you're up, you're in a bad place. So, and it happens quickly too. I mean, it could happen in practice. It can happen, you know, it obviously happens in games all the time. We've seen it throughout the preseason with season-ending injuries, and it's a very physical sport, and the preparation you put in the off season and the way you try to condition your body to deal with the season, everyone does it differently. Some people probably do it better than others. Some people, you know, take it more seriously than others, and therefore you maybe have a greater margin of error if your body gets caught in a particular bad situation on the field and you're able to get away from it. And some people, it's just, look, you could be the best conditioned, have the best off season ever, and you have some bad luck. So that's just the way it goes. I mean, that's why you build the team, you know, from 1-53, and you hope that it can hold up. But, you know, injuries always play a factor of every season. And, you know, the healthier you are, especially as the season goes on, you know, there's nothing more important than the health of the team. And that's, we see that year in and year out.
Hey, Tom, you famously said you hated the Jets a few years ago when they were kind of like your rivals. Are you feeling sorry for them now? They're kind of pathetic.
Well, they're, you know, we see them pretty early, and I'm sure, you know, like I said, they're, you have teams that are very hopeful. I'm sure they're hopeful that, you know, they can start the year. You know, every team deals with injuries, and every team deals with whether that's, you know, I know I saw some of their game the other night, but, you know, they made some significant changes to their team on defense. They got rid of a lot of players. You know, they drafted Geno Smith, so there's a, you know, both Buffalo's made a bunch of changes, a bunch of coaching changes, drafted a quarterback in Miami. So our division, you know, no one knows how it's going to play out. We're, you know, we're trying to get better like every one of those teams, and we get both teams right out of the box. So we'll see where we're at here pretty shortly.
I was surprised last week, Tom, when I read when you were speaking to the Michigan players, that you said being named captain of Michigan was your single greatest accomplishment, I think. You said in your career, in your football history, I think you said. Why is that greater than everything you've accomplished after that?
Well, it's very, I mean, I've had so many things that I never would have thought would have happened in my football career. So it's, whether that's playing at being even selected or getting a scholarship offer to go to a major college football program. I mean, I was hopeful, but you know, to have that happen was great. To have the chance to be named captain there was, you know, an incredible, you know, thing for me. That was something that was really taken so seriously at our school. It was, you know, it was talked about from the day that we walked in there of how, the history of captains at Michigan and what they represent and what they stood for. So that was really a, special moment in my life to have really your own peers. And as I was saying, you know, the guys that know you the best, when they choose you that, it's the greatest, you know, for me, it was the greatest thing that, you know, my teammates could have ever, bestowed upon me. Or, you know, when someone gives you that opportunity to lead them, it tells you how they feel about you. So, you know, I have all the respect in the world for the guys that I play with and who go through that program, because much like the New England Patriots and where I learned to compete was at Michigan, and because the competition was tough, and that suited me very well for when I got here and playing for the New England Patriots, where another program that, you know, it's about competition and it's about, you know, who's willing to put it in every day. And, you know, I think that's a big part of the reason why they've been able to stick around here for my 14th year, is because that's still important to me, and the competition and practice and the coaching and, you know, all the little things that you try to make a part of your daily life so that you can put yourself in a position to be a leader and to play at the highest level. So that's where I learned everything back then in Michigan.
Tom, the portions of that speech that I saw, you demonstrated great passion and energy. I'm wondering, did you rehearse that speech? Was it ad-libbed? Was it just off the top of your head? How did that whole thing work itself out?
You know, I had never done anything like that before. And I wouldn't say I really look forward to public speaking. That's not, to put it mildly. But for some reason, I felt so comfortable there. And, you know, I felt so comfortable in the message that I was trying to get across. So it was a very unique and fun experience for me. And I've never had a chance to go back to Ann Arbor, you know, in the fall, because obviously I'm playing. So, you know, when their season's going on, I mean, I have so many of my college buddies that go back and tailgate and have a blast. And, you know, look, I've been doing this for 14 years, so I haven't had a chance to do that. And it was really a unique thing for me to be able to do when they're in training camp and happens to be a night preseason game. So, it was really fun to be able to do. And, you know, one of these years I'll be able to get back there, hopefully when I'm done playing, to see a game at, you know, Michigan Stadium, because it's a great experience. It's anybody who's never done it and who loves college football, that's, you know, seeing a Michigan Ohio State game is pretty, it's pretty cool.
May I correctly assume that if that were a regular season game, the coach would have said, nah, I don't think so, Tom?
Well, I probably would have said, no, I don't think so.
Right.
So it wouldn't even have got, you know, that far. So not that the preseason games aren't important. They're very important. But, you know, this was, you know, something that, like I said, is once in a lifetime. So,
hey, did you feel old walking around the campus? I mean, 14 years. You're looking at them, I mean, they're kids. They're like young kids.
They do look like young kids. And when I was sitting in that room, because it's the exact same room that I was in when I was, you know, playing there, a lot of other things had changed at the school. A lot of other things are changing in college football. When you see all these programs, like I saw one in a Sports Illustrated, the Oregon program, and what they did for their football facility. And I've seen USC's, I've seen Tennessee's. I mean, it's incredible, the facilities and the way that they're trying to get these kids to commit. And, you know, the basketball arena, like, was unbelievable. I mean, it was never like that when I was at the football stadium, what they've done there. And how you compete in college football is so different. And pro football is very different. And our facilities, I mean, we just, you know, college, it's, you know, they have, you know, bank accounts that are, you know, very, very, very deep from a lot of alums that give a lot of money. So.
And that's just Johnny Manziel.
I know, exactly.
Hey. Why did you go there, Tom? I know I read in the book, you could have gone to Cal, you could have gone a number of places between you know, the San Francisco area and Michigan. Why did you choose to go halfway across the country, a place that's pretty cold in the winter, Ann Arbor?
Yeah, but it was the place where I felt I would be challenged the most. So that was the helmets. When you see the helmets, when you walk into Michigan Stadium and you go, God, I can be a part of this, like, and then you choose to go somewhere else that doesn't have that, that's not really in me. So, you know, I saw what I felt to be the best, and that's what I wanted to be a part of. So it wasn't, like I said, it was never an easy experience. There was seven other quarterbacks that they liked, and, you know, that was that's when you look at the competition. And then, you know, you see that in today's day and age, and I try to see maybe a lot of young players, and a message I try to pass on is, you know, the competition is stiff because everyone is fighting for only a few jobs, especially at our level. And if you're able to learn to compete at 18 as opposed to 22, you know, you got a big head start on the competition.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys, when they go to college, they're the best athletes, they're the best, they're the best in high school, and things came not relatively easily, but, you know, they were just better physically than everybody, and then you don't really have to learn to work or to compete or to find ways to succeed, even though you're not the best. And, you know, when you get to be 22 and your job's on the line, like we are in professional football, you know, the coach just wants the guys that's going to compete the hardest and be the best. And, you know, so if you're learning to compete when you're 22 and you're competing against a guy who's a grinder, who's been doing that his whole life, like, you're up against something that maybe you don't want to be up against. So the more of those guys, you have the Wes Welkers, the Danny Amendolas, Julian Edelman, you know, guys like that, and those are just guys on the offense side of the ball for me, but, you know, those guys have had to fight their whole life, so they get in a situation where they got to fight, and it's right up their alley. That's what they want to do.
Good. Hey, it's a tense time. Cut down day here, Tom. Cut down.
You worried?
When you were a rookie and there was four QBs, we all know what you said to Kraft, the best move you ever made, allegedly said to Kraft. But did you think you were going to get cut at any point?
No, I didn't. And I don't know why I didn't think that way. I mean, looking back on that situation now, I would say that maybe I should have been a little worried, concerned that no one ever keeps four quarterbacks.
Right.
But, you know, Coach Belichick, he decided to stick with me. So that was, you know, I was lucky to, you know, really have a chance that whole first year to be in a situation where I wasn't forced to play and go out and lose a bunch of confidence because you're not really prepared to play. I wasn't prepared to play my first year. So that's all that would have happened, was I'd have gone out and, you know, got beat up and lost, you know, a ton of confidence in what I had to do, but I was able to sit there, watch, learn, grow into my body a little bit, improve my throwing mechanics. And then my second year, I went in there, you know, really competing for the backup job and ended up winning it, against Damon Heward. And like I said, that competition at Michigan really set me up for that competition, you know, in Patriot training camp my second year. And that's, you know, I won the job, and then, you know, obviously Drew got hurt and I had a chance to play. So that was a, that was a huge turning point in my career because of the chances and opportunities that I had before me really prepared me for the opportunity that I got here.
All right, 1 week to go in summer. Labor Day's a week from today. Is there a quintessential Tom Brady summer song, Tom?
God, that is a tough one. How about I answer that next Monday for you on Labor Day?
Deal, excellent. We'll give you a week to think about it.
Yeah, let me think about that one.
All right, Tom, good stuff. Appreciate the conversation. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.